If you would, please take your Bibles tonight, and I want you to turn to 1 Peter chapter 2. I want you to find verse number 9. Now, would you stand with me, please? I'm going to read one other verse to you. You don't have to turn to it. So I'm going to read a verse, and then we'll read together 1 Peter chapter 2. I'm going to read to you from 1 Samuel chapter 12, verse number 15, where the Bible says this: "But if you will not obey the voice of the Lord, but rebel against the commandment of the Lord, then shall the hand of the Lord be against you, as it was against your fathers." Now here God's saying that obviously there are times when he tells us to do something and we rebel. And he said, if you do rebel against me, he said, I can bring some things against you. Now that doesn't mean you'll lose your salvation, but God certainly has a way of retracting blessing from us. And so he's saying here, don't rebel against those things which you ought to do. Now, 1 Peter chapter 2, starting with verse number 9, the Bible says this: "But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Dearly beloved, I beseech you, as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts, which war against the soul, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme." Let me pray for us, and then I'll talk to you about some things. Father, bless the lesson. Holy Spirit, I pray that you would just help someone to realize there's something holding them back in some area of separation. Might we stumble onto that tonight, and then might it be corrected, please. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Here in 1 Peter chapter 2, if you were listening, he said some of you, of course, when you were lost, you were in darkness, now you're in light. You know, we had a whole lesson on separation that talked about the separation of light and darkness. He calls us, he says to us, he calls the saved people royal priests, or we are a part of a royal priesthood. I don't know if you have ever stopped to think about when you got saved, God sees you as a royal priest. Now, he uses the word, we're chosen. He talks about the fact that we are a peculiar people. Now, that doesn't mean weird. That means distinctive. There's something distinctive about us. He actually mentions that we are, he would consider the Christian family a holy nation. He's not talking about the nation of America. He's talking about that conglomeration of born-again people. They are chosen. They're a peculiar, a distinctive people, and they're a holy group of people. Now, that's how God sees you. That's how he wants you to see yourself. And that's how he wants the world to see us. That's how he wants us to see each other. And this position or stature we are to represent, we're to represent it in our attitude. We're to represent it in our lifestyle, our speech, our dress, our service to God. He says in verse number 11, he says, to achieve this distinctiveness, this spirituality, this priestly status, he said, then you're going to have to abstain from some things. You say, what is that? Abstinence, or you're going to separate from some things. I wonder why would any of us that are born again, why would we not do what God asks? Why do saved people not separate from the things which God clearly teaches us to separate from? Why would we disobey God's mandate about certain things? Well, very simply tonight, I'm going to tell you some of the reasons why. First of all, if there are areas that you're not separating in, I would say you might find your reasoning in one of the things I'll teach tonight. Then, to everybody, those of you that want to help people, those of you that want to change people's lives, you influence people, you're nurturing, you're helping, you're grooming, you're training people. You'll probably find somewhere on this list tonight the reason why some people you're trying to help, they don't separate from wrong or sin or things from which they should separate. So if you'll listen, I'm just going to give you a list. Basically, I'll say, here's a reason why some people don't separate. I'll give you a verse. I'll make a couple comments, and we will move on. So I call the sermon, Why We Do Not Separate. Number one, some people don't separate because they're not saved. They're not saved. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 4:4, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Now, I'll promise you there are all sorts of people that call themselves Christian out there. The reason they live like the world and act like the world and behave like the world is they're just not saved. And I'm not trying to be offensive. There are a bunch of those in churches. You know, you can be religious and lost. Churchy people. So when you look out there in the world and you see all these churches and all these people living like the devil and you say, what's up with that? Well, probably what's up with that is they're lost and on their way to hell. And so the Bible says they are blind to the urgency of salvation. So I think it would make sense then to you that if they're blind to their need of salvation, they're definitely going to be blind to separation issues. Now, I doubt that there's anybody sitting under the sound of my voice that's not separating because you're lost, but I will never stop preaching the importance of the gospel of Jesus Christ. If you're here tonight, you've never been born again, you need to get saved. And if you say, not a bit of this separation stuff really appeals to me, are you saved? Now, I'm not trying to get you to doubt your salvation. I'm one that's always tooting the Lord's horn about once you're saved, you're always saved. That's what the Bible says. But I would tell you, saved people do have a desire to be like God. Okay, so why do we not separate? Well, some people don't separate because they're lost. And you know, a lost person can separate all they want and they'll still go to hell because you don't work your way to heaven. Separation doesn't get you to heaven. So, number one, you're unsaved. Number two, why would someone that's born again not separate? Another very simple reason. They are not filled with the Spirit of God. They're not filled with the Spirit of God. In 1 John chapter 3, verse number 24, the Bible says, and he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him. And hereby we know that we abide, that he abide in us by the Spirit which he hath given us. You have a pastor that's not afraid to preach on the importance of the Holy Spirit of God. I'm not going to let the charismatics and all the wackos that mess up the doctrine of the Holy Spirit, I'm not going to let them scare me out of teaching you the importance of the Spirit of God. But I will tell you this, people who live in the flesh, which is the opposite of living in the Spirit, they then don't separate. If you live in the flesh, then you're going to struggle with separation. You see, you're more interested in pleasing your flesh than you are pleasing the Spirit of God. See, people who are filled with the Spirit never reject separation, but they gladly embrace it. I've never met a man or a woman who is filled with the Spirit of God, who is living in a bunch of worldly, nasty ways. So, if you look at your life, and you know there are things going on in your life that you ought to separate from, can you answer this question about yourself? Are you filled with the Spirit of God? And if you're not, that's part of your problem. You might look at me and think, preacher, you're crazy, all this stuff that you preach that we're supposed to do. It's outrageous. How could we do all of that? You can't by yourself. You can't. Brother Mike, it'd be unfair if God expected us to do all that. We can't do all that by ourselves. See what he did? He said, when I save you, I put the Holy Spirit inside you, and my Spirit will help you to get it done. You just have to let him help you. You have to submit to him. So the thing of holy living without the Spirit of God, it's virtually impossible to do. But if you let him help you, you can. So, why do people not separate? Because they're lost. Why do people not separate? Because they're not filled with the Spirit. Why do people not separate? Next one's a bit of an obvious one, but because they love this world too much. They love the world too much. The Bible says in Romans 12:2, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. By the way, that is teaching separation all the way. You say, there's just so many things about me, I just need a total facelift. Right. And some of you do. You say, you know, if I did everything that I was taught, it would be a total transformation. Right. That's what the Bible teaches. It says, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. We are, I think sometimes people are so conformed. You say, what is the word conformed there? It means we are so in harmony with this world and we like it. And to change, we'd have to change our rhythm of life. And we don't want to change our rhythm of life, because that's what separation would do. We want to be worldly more than we want to be godly. You enjoy the world more than you enjoy the highest level of spirituality in the church or Jesus or pure living. So, why do we not separate? We love the world too much. Let me go on. Number four. Why do we not separate? Sometimes we don't separate because we're simple to what the Bible says about separation. We're simple to it. Psalm chapter 19, verse number 7 says, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. A wise person is somebody that knows what the Bible says, and they're doing what the Bible says. A rebellious person is a person that knows what the Bible says, but they won't do what the Bible says. Right in between is the simple person. A lot of times they don't know what the Bible says. Did you know that there are people in our midst tonight that are not separated, but they don't even know that they're not? There's some things they don't know about. They've never learned it. They've never seen it. They've never taught it. Now, are they in rebellion to what you believe? Well, they might not be doing what you're doing, but I don't know that they're rebelling against it. They're simple to it. When children are little, they do dumb things. But they don't do those dumb things in a rebellious way. Sometimes they do dumb things because they didn't know that it was a dumb thing. When you're a wee little tot and you want to go stick your finger in the outlet, you might not do that saying, I'm rebellious, I think I'll electrocute myself. You do it because you don't know you'll get shocked. Now, if you're 20... and you stick your finger in the receptacle, you're stupid. You're being rebellious against something that you've been taught. The simple, they don't always know. Hey, and so let me say to a lot of you, you watch your pastor. There's some of you, you've known me for years and years and years and years. Not one of my convictions, not one of my standards have changed, but I have been working with a lot of simple people the last few years as our church has grown and new people have come into the church, and they need to be trained. They need to be taught. They need to be loved. People don't grow overnight, and neither did you. You got to give them time. You got to grow them. So simple meaning you're not educated or you're not informed. So some people don't separate because they're simple about separation. Now, I would tell you this. If you've been sitting in this church for the last 40 weeks, you're not as simple as what you used to be. And in the next few weeks, you'll be even less simple than what you were when we started. So we're leaving the realm of simplicity. You're either going to become wise by doing what you've been taught, or you're going to become a fool by rejecting what you've been taught. I've always felt obligated to train before I throw a fit about certain things. Makes sense, right? I mean, if you want to throw a fit about something with your children, it might be a good idea for you to teach them how to do what you wanted them to do before they get punished for not doing what you never trained them to do. Okay. So simple people often are uninformed people. And that's one reason why God tells us to train. You've heard the verse about children. Train up a child in the way he should go. Training. Okay, so why do some not separate? They're just simple to it. And so number five, why do people not separate? Well, sometimes we're more committed to tradition than we are to biblical living. I'm even talking about religious tradition. Sometimes we're more committed to tradition than we are to biblical living. Acts chapter 5, verse number 29 says this, "Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, 'We ought to obey God rather than man.'" You know where tradition comes from. It's man's tradition. They are habits that have been formed among men. Not all tradition is unscriptural, but some is. Maybe you don't separate because you're committed more to tradition than you are to biblical living. Hey, have you been in other churches who did not practice separation and you're committed to their way of doing things? You say, but that's kind of traditional. That's where I came from. You have always not been separated in some areas of your life, and your lack of separation has virtually become your own tradition. It's how you're going to do it. Basically, you're set in your ways or the ways of somebody else regarding certain separation matters. Hey, you know other churches who do not teach or require separation, and you believe their way. Why aren't you there? I don't think that's not an unreasonable question to ask, is it? You say, "I believe the way the Russians believe." Then go to Russia. Makes total sense to me. Okay, so sometimes people get so committed to tradition that they won't let God budge them. Let me go on. Why do we not separate? Because maybe we're not willing to grow. We're not willing to grow. Isaiah chapter 1 verse 19 says, "If ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land." Now notice it says, "If you be willing and obedient." I think there are people. I have conversations with folks, and I've been talking to people about the things of God for a long time, and I've had conversations with people who would say to me, "Pastor, I know I should separate from this, or I know I should change that, but I'm just not willing." Okay. I just don't want to. All right. I don't feel like it. Okay. You're willing to be like the world, but not willing to be like God who created the world. Sounds to me like we have a cart before the horse. But there are people, there are people that just, they're not willing. Now, I think that's a dangerous stance to take. To say, "I know I need to change this, or stop that, or fix this. I'm not willing." And there's a lot of different ways to teach what I'm teaching tonight. I'm trying to be very kind. I'm trying to teach you and just look at the reality of why people will not separate. But I will tell you this. If you know it ought to change, and you know God wants it to change, and you're not willing, I would merely inform you of this. God can make you willing. The Heavenly Father has that ability. Brother Uriah, when I was growing up, on more than one occasion, I was not willing. But my dad persuaded. Because my dad loved me. And there were a lot of things I was not willing to do that I needed to do. It was best for me to do. And I wasn't even smart enough to know what was good for me. Thank God for a daddy that knew. So, there are some that are just not willing. I've got to go on. Next. Why would we not separate? Well, maybe you've believed some bad teaching. Maybe you've heard some wrong teaching about the subject of separation. 1 John chapter 4, verse 1 and 2, it says, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God." Now, if you're not careful, and I taught some doctrines I taught about some words that are used about the subject of separation way back when we first started this series. Now I'm saying that sometimes people don't separate because they have been taught some things about separation that are honestly wrong. For instance, there is a label that people try to place on someone that believes in separation. It's the label legalism. And there may be somebody sitting in here right now that say, "Well, that separation stuff, that's legalism." I'm so sorry, but legalism is when somebody believes that you work to get saved. Our church does not believe in legalism at all. We believe that salvation is a gift that's received freely. So now we're not legalists. We are separationists. What's that mean? There are some things you're not supposed to do. But if you've been taught that separation is legalism, you may be holding to that, and you're scripturally wrong, because separation is not legalism. Right. Maybe you heard someone say that saved people are granted spiritual liberty, and therefore separation is not necessary. Now, there's another word that is misused and directed towards someone that teaches or a church that believes in separation. They say, "Well, as Christians, we have liberty." See, again, it's the misuse of a word. Liberty is not freedom from separation. It's freedom to separate. Liberty is not freedom to sin. It's freedom from sin. They're turning the thing around on you and making it exactly backwards. You say, "Well, all this separation stuff is ridiculous. You take it too far." You wait till you get to heaven. And you'll find out I'm a liberal when it comes to separation. You talk about it, a well-ran place. The epitome of separation. But see, if we learn bad things, we let them get in our heart and in our mind, and then we accept that they're right. But separation is not legalism. And we do have liberty, but it's not liberty to sin. It's liberty to not sin. It's not liberty to not be separated. It is a liberty that frees us to be separated and from the things that will hurt us in life. You heard some teacher or preacher who refuted you know what they did? They got up and they taught something about your pet area of separation. And they gave you just enough information to justify you not separating in that area. And you've hung on to it forever. "Oh, so-and-so said." You better find out what the Bible says. But if there's an area someone that doesn't want to separate, they can work at it and work at it and work at it and work at it. They'll find somebody that will give them some sort of a scripture that'll agree with their desire not to separate. And then they'll grab a hold of that like, "I believe the Word of God. I'm going to stand on the Word of God. Took me 20 years to find somebody to teach me how not to separate in this area, and I'm going to stand for it." Well, la-dee-da on you. But if you're not careful, you will have been taught something that's not scriptural and then hang on to it so you can justify not separating. Why do people not separate? Number eight, I think sometimes people do not separate because they're too proud. They're too proud. Proverbs 18:12 says, before destruction, the heart of man is haughty, and before honor is humility. If you are too proud, you won't separate. And there are a variety of ways that this can be applied. But if you are too self-absorbed to submit to Bible standards, you know, see, to separate, you would send the signal to others that you were wrong in how you were living prior to separation, and you're not about to be wrong. You will hang on to something you should not hang on to, because to let go of it makes you guilty of not being as good a Christian as what you told everybody you were. To worldly family or worldly friends or even to the religious family. Be careful that your pride does not keep you from making changes. There are a lot of people, they have a spiritual image that they want to uphold. And so when they're taught certain things about separation, they pretty well think they have arrived. And to make any obvious change shows guilt on their part. And they're not willing to make that change, because they're not willing to be found guilty of being less than the reputation they've built. You think you're attractive to the world, and to separate your look or your behavior, you may lose some of that attractiveness. I'll promise you, there are people that are vain enough to think, there are a lot of people out there that like me and like to look at me, and there are a lot of people out there that like what I am, and if I go to separating, they're going to look at me different. I'm not willing to give that up. That's a connection to the world. And so we can be too proud. I've got to hurry. Next. Why do people not separate? Well, I think sometimes it's a lack of love for the Lord. A lack of love for the Lord. In John chapter 14, verse number 15, it says this, if you love me, keep my commandments. You see, if you love God, you prove it by obedience. Just saying you love God does not prove you love God. I put it this way, talk is cheap. Love is not just a noun, it's a verb, it's action. When you say no to separation and it's something that God teaches and it's scriptural, you're expressing a lack of love for your God. So, if you love God, you'll do what God commands. He said, the way you prove you love me is not by telling me you love me. Now, I think you should tell him you love him. Now, God told us that he loved us. But you know what he did? For God so loved the world, he gave. Action. And if you and I want to prove that we love God, then we do. We obey God, and that proves that we love God. But some people, the reason they don't separate is because they don't love God right. Let me go on. Number 10. Why do we not separate? We don't separate because we fear our friends. We fear friends. Psalm 128, verse number 1 says, blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord, that walketh in his way. We are to fear God ultimately. And I've been preaching the subjects of the Bible for a long time. This subject of separation or standards. There are a lot of people that they don't separate because they fear their friends. You have lost friends and you fear their opinion of your separation from the world. You say, well, they might think I'm crazy. They've been thinking Christians are crazy for years because we separate from the world. That's not going to change. You have weak or unseparated Christian friends and you fear their opinion if you separate. Listen, you don't fear your friends more than you fear spiritual disobedience to your God. That's why the verse says, it says, blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord. Feareth the Lord. So, why do people not separate? They fear their friends. Hey, listen, I know people that don't separate. Number 11, why do we not separate? Because we fear our families. We fear our families. Galatians 1:10 says, "For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ." Now, I have to tell you something, folks. Many Christians through history have faced criticism from their own family members because they separated from the world and their family didn't understand it. I have to tell you, when I first got saved and I started hearing preaching from the Word of God about separating from the world, I had some family members that thought I had fallen off my horse and hit my head. Because what they did and the way that that part of the family lived was not the way I was now living, and it bothered them. And I don't know if it bothered them because they were convicted or maybe they were actually concerned that I was doing something wrong, but you don't determine what's right or wrong based on your family. You determine what's right or wrong based on the Bible. Amen. And I'm very, very sorry because I would like for all of us to have total peace with our entire family. But you didn't have peace with them about everything before you got saved. Nor will you have peace after. And I am responsible to God to separate, even if my family doesn't understand it. You should love your family. But I'd be careful loving them more than you love God. That's a dangerous thing to do. You should separate for your family and be a godly example. I remember a family that I won to Christ, and boy, they got on fire for God. I won mom, dad, and a couple teenagers to the Lord, and they started coming to church, and boy, they got saved, they walked the aisle, they got baptized, they started to change their life. But this is what they told me. They said, "Our family, they do not understand this, because this is just a big old, a bunch of partying people." And I said, "You need to do right as an example to them, whether they understand it or whether they like it or not." And the man said, "My family will never step in a church like this." I said, "You do right whether they ever step in this church or not. You're to do right. What everybody else does should not determine what you do, but what God says should determine what you do." And he said, "Well, that's what we'll do." For a little while, they were ostracized, family mocked and teased. We had a big day at the church. And the guy came to my door right before Sunday school. He said, "Preacher, it's an emergency." I thought, "Oh no, something's burning down." He said, "You're not going to believe who's come to church today." I said, "Who?" He said, "My family." I said, "I thought you said they would never come to a church like this." He said, "I can't believe it. They said, if whatever is going on down there is big enough to change you, like the change we've seen in you, we better go take a look." Now, let me tell you something, folks, though. People are scared to death of their families. What will they think? I'm not telling you to be rude. I'm not telling you to be unkind. Matter of fact, I would even tell you this. If you've got family that's lost, you shouldn't be talking to them about separation. They're not going to understand it. Even your liberal Christian family won't understand it. That shouldn't change what you do. You're responsible to God. Our family should not determine how we live, but God's Word should determine how we live. Let me go on. Why do we not separate? We don't separate because we're not sure how to separate. And I really believe that of some people. They don't know how to separate. Proverbs 3:13 says, "Happy is the man that findeth wisdom and the man that getteth understanding." The word "findeth" and "getteth," those are active words. One thing that you need to do, if you say, "Well, I need to separate, but I'm not really sure on how to do some of this," then seek the answer. The Bible says, "Happy is the man that findeth and getteth understanding." Findeth wisdom, getteth understanding. Somebody's after it. Let me tell you what you do. If you say, "I don't understand it all, I'm not real sure about some things," let me tell you, you got to have the right attitude. Want to know. Want to know. Want to find out. Find how to do it. Get the information that you need. You may ask yourself, "Well, how do I make that change?" Well, when do I make that change? Now, the why is always easy because you make the change because the Bible says to. But let me promise you something. If you look in your life and you say, boy, I've been taught some things, but I'm not real sure how to make the change. I'm not real sure what to do to make the change. Let me recommend something. Come see me and I can talk you through it. If you're a lady and you say, I'd feel more comfortable talking to a lady, speak to Mrs. Owen. She'll talk you through it. She's very gracious, a very kind lady. But don't not change because you don't know how. And I really think there are people that say, boy, I'm seeing a lot of things that I need to change, I need to fix, but I'm not really sure how to go about it. And there are some right and wrong ways to separate. There really are. Like I said a moment ago, sometimes you separate, but I'm not sure that I would post on Facebook 110 things that you separated from this week. You're going to have your lost family going, what? They're, you know, hey, it's just like you don't give a four-year-old a driver's license. Why? They won't know how to use it. And people grow in the Lord, and there are certain levels of responsibility and understanding that people have. And, you know, you just don't have to tell everything. Just live it for a little while. So, if you don't know how to separate, just get someone to help you. That there are some mature Christians around our church. You look at them and you say, well, they're separated. And when you look at somebody else in the church and you respect them and they're a leader in the church and you say, they are definitely separated in the area that I would like to separate, don't be afraid to, in private, go to them and say, I want to understand this better. And I think they'll try to help you. And if they can't help you, they'll say, well, go see the preacher's wife. They'll show you how. You don't have to be afraid. I won't bite you. I'll be kind. I'll just show you what the Bible says. And you'll find this out. If you don't separate, I'm going to be your friend. I'm going to be your pastor. I'm going to love you. You don't have to leave the church if you don't separate, but I'd like for you to grow. Let me go on. A couple more points and we'll be done. Why do we not separate? I think sometimes we fear the cost. We fear the cost. 1 John chapter 5, verse number 3, it says, for this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not grievous. That has something to do with attitude. Yes. It said His commandments are not grievous. Now, you've heard someone say, God loveth a cheerful giver. I have to tell you this. I was listening on the radio one day, and a guy said, the Bible says God loveth a cheerful giver, and if you can't tithe and be happy, don't tithe. I think that's stupid, and I think his statement was unscriptural. I'd recommend to you, if you put your tithe in, and you're as mad as a hornet about it, you better put it in. You're still getting credit on the ledger in heaven for tithing. It's a real smart thing. You say, well, I don't like paying my mortgage. Okay, well, then just don't pay it. You know what the bank's going to say? Bring it down here, even if you're mad at us. Bring your payment in. Okay, but I do think this. I do think you and I ought to obey and have a good attitude about it. Here the Bible says that His commandments are not grievous. Does the thought of separation in specific areas grieve you? You know you should, but you're just grieved. You have an attitude about it. God says do it because you love Him. And could I recommend you do it because you love Him and with a good attitude? I think some people actually look at the financial loss that's possible. You say, how is that? Well, we tell you there's some music that you ought not listen to, and you spent your whole life building your music collection, and none of it has to do with Jesus. Well, the Doobie Brothers, Jesus is just all right with me. Any of you? Come on, some of you know who the Doobie Brothers are, right? Edwards, don't do that junk. I know better. You know, we talk about certain entertainments and you say, man, you ought to see all the stuff that I have collected for entertainment and it doesn't match what we're taught at the church. It's going to cost you something. I'll never forget. Boy, I got saved, and I had an 8-track tape collection. You know, some of you acting like you don't know what I'm talking about. But I had an 8-track tape collection. It was nasty. And I was just a kid, but I'd spent many years collecting all my music. And I got saved, and they started preaching about, yeah, I'd be listening to this devil music. And by the way, proved it to me. Talking about, you know, drugs and rebellion, and I was moved one day, and finally I got the courage, and we had an old 50-gallon drum that oil came in at the factory my dad worked, and they took the lid off of it, and dad drugged the old rusty thing home. It became our trash can. And nobody ever stole your trash can back then. And the wind didn't blow it up the road. And boy, I took all those 8-track tapes, and I took them out, and I put them in that old steel drum, and the gasoline that blew off the hair off my arms and eyelashes when I lit it, and I threw a match in there and went poosh. You know, I thought the devil was coming out of there to attack me. You just don't put gas in there. And, you know, and it burnt. I went in. My mom, you know, my eyelashes are all gone. No hair on my arms. She said, "What have you been doing?" I said, "I've been getting right with God." But it cost me something. Yeah, it cost me my hair. When Mrs. Owens changed the way she dressed, it cost her something. It cost me something through the years. But I got news for you. It cost Jesus something to die for you. It cost Jesus something to give you the kind of life that He gives you. But there are people that don't separate because they fear the cost. I've watched bartenders give up their jobs. My last church, I watched two prostitutes give up their jobs. When they got saved, changed their life. It may cost something. Jesus gave all for you. It may cost you a little of what you consider your popularity to separate. But there are people that fear the cost. I've got 2 points and we're done. Let me say, I think some people don't separate. They plan to. But not now. They plan to. But not now. I think there are people that sincerely say, you know what, I've heard this teaching, and I'm going to get to that, and I am going to separate. Psalm 119, verse 60 says, "I made haste and delayed not to keep thy commandments." Amen. Let me say this. When it comes to procrastination and what God's taught you, the delay of good is the devil's way to get you to put off what God wants you to do. Let me explain something about delaying decisions. If someone presented the gospel of Jesus Christ to you and you said, "I'm not saved, but I'm going to get saved someday." If you die before that someday gets here, you will go to hell. You say, "Well, it's not dangerous to delay decisions." Oh, it can be very dangerous to delay decisions. When the train is coming right at you and your car is on the tracks, I'd get off the tracks. I wouldn't delay. The time spent between knowing what is right to do and the doing of right is usually spent justifying the doing of wrong. We're trying to mentally figure out how to pull it off. Procrastination sometimes is a coward's way of escaping necessary obediences. Make one more point, and I'll be done with the lesson. Why do we not separate? Sometimes we do not separate because we fear failure. 1 Corinthians, the Bible says, "I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me." You have to realize if you fear failure, failure paralyzes. And I think sometimes when people feel like they're going to fail at certain things, it paralyzes them. And they don't move. Look, I think there are people in here, you've attempted to separate before in certain areas and you failed or you fell on your face. So now you're afraid to try again. Could I recommend that if you need to, that you fail all the way to heaven? Amen. You see, if I try to separate and I fail, and I try to separate and I fail, and I try to separate and I fail, and I try to separate and I fail, which, by the way, you probably won't. You're going to succeed. But if you try to separate and you fail, and you try to separate and you fail, and then you die, the Lord says, "Boy, you didn't give up." Amen. But wait, you tried to separate and you failed, and you said, "I can't do it." So But you don't do anything about it the rest of your life. And then you die. God will say, why'd you quit all the way back there? And so I'd rather fail all the way to heaven. But when I met my Savior, I'd say, I'm sorry. But I tried. And He'll say, I watched you. I watched you fall down and get up and fall down and get up and fall down and get up and fall down and give up. And I would say to all of you, most of the areas in which you will try to separate and fail, everybody tried and failed. And tried and failed. Nobody's born and just takes off walking straight out of the womb. There's a trial and a failure. But don't let your failures rob God from what He wants. Tonight, I've given you 15 reasons why people don't separate. Tucked in there somewhere, and I'm sure there are others, tucked in there somewhere. Probably the reason why, if you need to separate, you don't. And if you're helping people, ponder some of these, because these are the reasons why people do not separate.